today, well, actually the next 2 weeks, but this is certainly a topic that has brought forth an awful lot of discussion over the last week, our Easter break sometimes, not only just getting out of here and having a relaxing time to get out of here, if you give the folks out in Minnesota a little extra time to think about a potential decision that we in the legislature are going to make. We get lots of comments and lots of emails, and I know the 1 week early fishing opener is and has been discussed at some length in the House. In fact, I believe it is in the in their bill. So, moving forward, we'll be doing the game and fish as well as the fee bill tomorrow. I just wanted to be a little more prepared, the members to be a little more informed as to whether we think this is a good idea or not. So with that, if members have any questions at all before we start, it's basically an informational meeting. We don't have a bill before us here. We're just going to take some testimony from the DNR as well as some of the resort folks and hospitality, and I think we have one fishing guide coming up as well. So we'd like to hear their opinion and their discussion. And I thought it was important to hear the DNR's point with regards to the science of this, not just I think sometimes legislators just run off and pass legislation without even conferring with those that are put in a position to manage our resources. And so with that, I'll kind of a segue into the Department of Natural Resources. I believe Bob Myers here. He'll start it out. Thanks for coming.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you. For the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. And we're going to kind of have a three-part presentation real quickly. I'm just going to kind of introduce things. You should have a handout in your packets in front of you today that covers the information we're going to talk about. Ed Bogus is going to go into some of the biological concerns that we have. And also, we do have some latest some information from this weekend's spawn take that we can share with you on how things have been going up in north. So as we all know, about 3 weeks ago or so, we thought spring was here. So people are getting their boats ready to go and thinking about going fishing. I think that's about when the House presented their language, and it's amazing what the weather can do in a couple of days in Minnesota.
Mr. Meyer, you're not a meteorologist, but I understand we can carry a report that we have some snow on the ground in northeastern Minnesota today. Is that correct?
In some parts, I think there's over 10 inches, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Our concerns initially when this language was brought forward was that due to the warm weather, our biological information was showing that the spawn was on track or almost ahead of schedule. So biologically speaking, we didn't have a lot of background to say don't change the fishing opener. Some of that may have changed, and we'll talk about that later on. But our biggest concerns really have been and continue to be on lakes that we have special management regulations, such as Lake Mille Lacs, where we have a Supreme Court-mandated fishing quota that we have to manage for. And putting moving the fish opener a week ahead, and if the bite were to be extremely hot that week, could force that lake into special management regulations faster, much faster, depending on how that fish take would be. We also had some concerns of some other species, but overall, biologically speaking, when this first was brought up, we didn't have a lot of concerns. Our concerns were social and economic, which isn't our expertise. That's up to the legislature to decide. And one of our main concerns was to move it forward every year would obviously be the wrong thing to do from our aspect because of the weather and the ice out conditions and things like that. Most times, resorters may be scrambling just to get set up and running on a normal fishing opener. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I'll bring up Ed Bogus, our Director of Fish and Wildlife Division, just to talk about some of those historical information and some of the background information pieces that we have in this handout.
Welcome to the committee, gentlemen. Before they start, Mr. Meyer, maybe I could ask you this. There's been some discussion and question of me, and I couldn't give him the answer, and I found that answer out this morning, but maybe you'd like to tell the members with regards to the commissioner having the authority to set rules that they have. Is the commissioner able to set a start opening date for fishing, or that has to be done by the Constitution? That has to be done, excuse me, by the legislature.
Mr. Chairman, I'll let Ed Bogus talk about that real quickly.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Ed Bogus, Department of Natural Resources, for the record, and respond to the chair's question. The dates for the fishing opener are set by statute, and so the commissioner does not have the discretion to set the fishing opener date.
Thanks. Can go later, but not earlier.
I understand. Mr. Knopf has some information with regards to. You can do it later, but obviously we don't. The early thing here is certainly going to be affecting us.
Well, Mr. Chair, if you look at the handout from DNR, if you look at the third page, you'll see in the top open seasons for angling, dates for certain species. It says the open season, because the statutory open season for largemouth bass and muskellunge is the same as walleye in the statute, but those seasons are always start later, and that's because the commissioner, by rule, establishes those seasons at a later date. So my comment is they're set by statute. You can't go earlier than that, but DNR, based on fish biology or whatever, can move a season later, but not earlier. That's the important distinction here.
Mr. Chair, yes, that, you know, we cannot go any earlier than the statutory opening dates that are set, but if we have a biological justification to go later, we can do that. Mr. Meyer covered some of the background, but you can see from the handout that there has been a lot of kind of standardization and tradition in the Minnesota fishing opener. Prior to 1948, it opened on May 15th. Starting in 1948, we started going to the Saturday nearest May 15th. I'm assuming that's when the commissioner got the authority to go to the Saturday closest to the statutory opening date, which the commissioner still continues to have that authority to go to the Saturday nearest when there's a date set in statute. And then in 1989, the legislature did change the opening date on average 3 days, made it 3 days earlier, and that session law is in the packet as well, and that was in response to interest from some of the resort and tourism industry folks in assuring that they had 2 weekends prior to Memorial Day of business with the fishing opener, and with the Saturday nearest the 15th, some years there would be 2 weeks prior to Memorial Day, and some years there would only be 1 week prior to Memorial Day. So you can see the historic opening dates in that chart, and that the opening date that's in the House Game and Fish Bill would be considerably earlier than any previous opener. Biologically, when this idea first surfaced, looked like spawning of walleye in particular was well ahead of schedule. We started our spawn take operations earlier than we ever have and anticipated that the run would go like a typical run and be over fairly soon, but that's not been the case, and Mr. Peterson will talk about that in a minute. We're actually now more looking at closer to an average for where the state of the walleye spawning is as of today, with the cooler temperatures that we've seen over the last week. The main concern that we initially had was Mille Lacs. Obviously, that's one lake out of thousands in the state, but it is a very important walleye fishery that's very popular, and that we have no flexibility this year to exceed the state's allocation of the safe harvest. So the fishing has been very good at Mille Lacs, and we expect that to continue. And an earlier opener could add a week of harvest to that season, which could increase the chance of having to do a more restrictive regulation on Mille Lacs in the middle of the season, which we would, and the resort businesses around the lake would like to avoid if at all possible. Lake trout, there's some concern just because they're more vulnerable when they're shallow and the water's cool. And then they go deep usually within a week or so after the opener. An earlier opener, they could be shallow longer. It just all depends on the progression of the spring, which, you know, as the conditions outside tell us, it's pretty hard to predict much in advance what that's going to be like. So those were the main biological concerns. We do have some new information over the last 3 days or so on the status of walleye spawning, and I'd like our fisheries chief, Dirk Peterson, to review that information.
Any questions, members? Mr. Bogus, I do have one with regards to Mille Lacs. Can you make sure everybody understands what could happen if there was an overtake of walleye? What would kick the commissioner into taking some type of action? Can you go through that a little more thoroughly, please?
Mr. Chair, every year we set a safe safe harvest level. I think the members know that Mille Lacs is in the 1837 ceded territory. The lake is mostly within the boundaries of that territory, and it's all managed as one body of water within that that ceded territory, where the bands have been given or their rights have been affirmed under the Treaty of 1837 to be able to harvest free of state regulation under their own code. And there's two bands in Minnesota and eight bands in Wisconsin that were signatory to that treaty that have harvest rights there. So each year we have a technical committee that meets of biologists from the state and the bands to set the safe harvest level based on population surveys and modeling for Mille Lacs. And then the band declares what they intend to take as an allocation. The remainder of the safe harvest is then available for the state regulated anglers to take. This year, there's a lot of female spawners in Mille Lacs. There's a good population in Mille Lacs, but the condition of that fishery, it's getting to be heavy to older fish, and there's been declining males in the population, and we're in a situation this year based on our population surveys where the state cannot have what we call an overage in our take. In other words, we have to manage the state harvest within the state's allocation. We can't exceed it this year based on the condition of the population. So because of that, we are starting out. We've had an 18 to 28 protected slot limit on Mille Lacs for walleye. We're going to start out at a 17 to 28, adding an inch to that protected slot to help protect that population and increase the chance of getting through the season with that regulation. In the past several years, we've not only been able to do 18 to 28, we've even been able to relax it a couple of years during the summer. But if we hit a point where there's a hot bite, which we're predicting there will be on Mille Lacs this year, and we take a high poundage of fish from the lake, and it looks like we're going to be hitting that allocation, there's the potential that we would have to go to a more restrictive regulation mid-season. In 2007, I believe it was, we had to go to a 16 to 17, I think it was, harvest slot, which was a very restrictive regulation. It essentially meant that there were hardly any fish that anyone would catch that they could keep. And so we would like to avoid that. We think going to the 17 to 28 will do that. But if we add a week to the season and it's good fishing, it just increases the likelihood that we might have to go to a more restrictive regulation, because we have to keep the state's harvest within the allocation.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. In anticipation of this hearing, we wanted to make sure we had updated information. Well, first of all, I'm Dirk Peterson. I'm the fisheries chief for Minnesota DNR. And what started out to be a record early season, characterized by a very mild winter and a record warm March. You know, our fisheries crews are as sensitive to warm weather and what it means for spawning activity as anyone may be, and it resulted in us setting our traps in at specific spawn-taking sites at a record early date, say at Cutfoot Sioux, our primary egg take, and near record dates at most of the other sites. And the warm weather started some fish moving, but then as weather has cooled off, we've seen some drop off on the migration of fish to our trap sites. And as we've worked a little over 2 weeks into the season, we've seen that where we are with our egg takes is approaching a normal year. And as was referenced earlier by the assistant commissioner and the deputy, is that we have, or the director, is that we now have a very cold weather scenario up in the north at this time with snow and rain occurring. And we expect that this would probably slow down the egg take a little bit. What we've shown on the graphic on page 4 is from our Boy River site. It is near Walker, and the area supervisor there has provided some historical data for us. And the blue line, well, the two graphs show the number of one females coming into the trap on a daily basis. The other one shows the number of quarts of eggs that we have taken on a daily basis. The blue line shows the long-term average at that site, at that spawn-taking site. And the red line shows what maybe an early spawn-taking season could look like. That was 2010, where we peaked as early as April 15th now and completed by April 23rd, which is even a little bit earlier than when we normally peak, somewhere around April 27th. The green line shows some erratic up and down behaviors as far as fish moving into the trap and the ability for us to take some eggs. But overall, visually, it looks like we're on track with a normal year based on the smoothed blue line. And as we surveyed our supervisors around the state, we found that in general, most of the spawn-taking sites are maybe at normal levels. One is kind of ahead of schedule, and some are slightly behind. And, for example, the Pine River site at Brainerd is ahead of schedule, and that's one of the sites that does run earlier than other sites, and their egg take is going good. We've concluded the Pike River scenario up at Vermilion. It's a small quota, but the eggs that we took are of poorer quality, and that's not uncommon with an early egg take scenario. But most of them, on average, are running about the normal that we would see on the long-term average. So,
Mr. Peterson, you talk about poor egg quality. Can you explain that a little bit? What does weather have anything to do with that?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, there are a number of factors that determine what is kind of a preferred sort of scenario for walleye spawning. And there are two factors that drive their preparation for that activity. One is water temperature, which we all reacted to, and you get that early staged run. A lot of the females tend to be green. They're not quite ripe yet. And what finally completes the cycle for them is photo period. So as we have been moving in through the last couple weeks, that photo period has been lengthening. The water temperatures have damped a little bit. And so at Pike River, those eggs were taken early. They're not in their full optimal spawning condition. And so sometimes the quality of the eggs that are fertilized, we don't get as high a degree of fertilization as if the temperature and photo period conditions coupled with flow had been more optimal. So,
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Peterson, can you talk a little bit about the cutfoot? Because I know that that's, like you said, one of the largest spawn-taking areas. And my understanding is that the spawn-take is down considerably. Is that correct?
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Carlson, let me just take a quick look here. You know, we're approximately maybe 30% through our egg take, and I think we're a little bit behind there, not much behind average. And average is always somewhere in between a pair of extremes. But, you know, we've some of the eggs that we held early with the warm weather, that we can only keep them so long in a trap net, you know, without some harm to the fish. And so after a few days, we have to release green females back to the water. So as the photo period increases, water temperatures increase, you know, a lot of those fish will return to the trap, and hopefully we can take eggs at that time and meet our full quota. Just as general, we do anticipate meeting our quota. We're about 60% there right now, but it'll be a longer, drawn-out process with cutfoot being the big driver, as you've mentioned, Senator.
So, Mr. Peterson, to understand it a little better, when you talk about the greenfish being released and coming back spawning, so they're going to be more vulnerable? Would they be more vulnerable to be caught in the early season that we're talking about?
Mr. Chairman, if temperatures stay cooler, you know, and we had an earlier opener, then those fish would be spawning at a normal time, and they'd be still in kind of their spawning aggregations or slightly moving to post-spawn, and they can be vulnerable in those concentrations. Specific to cutfoot Sioux, Sometimes the weather can be cool enough where we've had to close that area, and there's at least one resort that operates within that area. And the most recent closure we had at Cutfoot Sioux was 2008, based on water temperatures.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for any of you there. What you're talking about, I'm sure, is correct, and I'm not sure it makes that much difference what you're talking about. The date that it was going to be or the date that it's a week earlier. What I do think it makes it almost impossible to have it a week early right now is the fact that, three or four weeks ago, whoever it was that proposed that we have this earlier district or this earlier season, right now you really can't expect anybody to be for that because whether you're talking about a resort or if it's the guides or whoever it is, it's just too late before the season before you can really make this decision. If we decided to do this 3 weeks ago when it was proposed and it went on and everybody could have made that change to the season, then I think it would have been fine. But we went a couple of weeks, and then we took a week of vacation, and it wasn't done. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a moot point anyway. Hey, I don't think that it ought to be changed to a week earlier. I understand here that it was warm, and then it was cooler, and so, and there hasn't been as – so there's only 60% of the eggs have been out there, but what is the reason for that? Is it because it's been spread out over a long time in the warm weather, or is it there's not as many fish there, or it may be just the same because the fish are coming back? Or tell me a little bit about that difference in a week.
Pierce.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Saxog, I tried to characterize it as a combination of there are local conditions for each spawn-taking site, flow conditions and that sort of thing, are environmental drivers. But as far as the eggs being ready to take, it's driven by temperature initially, and then it's finalized with photo period, the lengthening of the day. So we all reacted to the early temperature, but it didn't have the polishing effect of extending the day length. And so those fish show up early, anticipating warmer temperatures, but they're still kind of green. The longer the days become, the more likely they are to ripen. So, and then if you get some cold weather in between, you can get this kind of dampening of the run. And so I think it might be overstating the value of the graphs, but if you kind of look at the females and then the quarts taken, it's kind of been an up and down thing. I don't want to say that's definitive, but it's certainly leading.
Mr. Meyer, maybe this is a question with regards to Senator Saxog's concern. I know this has come up, and I'm going to stretch my memory a little bit here, maybe 3 weeks ago at the most. Do you know if there's been a bill ever introduced at all?
Pardon? Mr. Chairman, there was not a bill introduced.
The House or Senate, did you know of?
Not that I've seen. It was added on the House Game and Fish Bill on the floor.
That was only a week ago?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Any further questions of these gentlemen? Okay, if you can hang in there a little bit for something. If there's some questions, we would appreciate it. Next, we'll go with the hospitality and the Congress of Minnesota Resorts. Maybe Mr. Carlson and Quillis could come up and tag team and give us a little idea of what the folks you represent are saying or asking. I see. Did anybody check that at all for any potential invasives?
It's never been in the water, I guarantee you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that would have been something.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tony Quillis. I'm representing Hospitality Minnesota today, which is the umbrella organization of the Minnesota Lodging Association, Minnesota Restaurant Association, and the Minnesota Resort and Campground Association. I'm going to specifically be commenting today on the Minnesota Resort and Campground Association's position on this, but I'm going to defer to my younger and smarter colleague first, Mr. Carlson, to start the comments.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and I'm here on behalf of the Congress of Minnesota Resorts, which is an association of smaller family-owned resort operations in Minnesota. I refer to them sometimes as mom-pa resorts. I mean, the guys that have 8, 10, 12 cabins. That is the bulk of the membership of our association. And I can tell you that nothing has taken place since Wendell Anderson was on the cover of Time magazine to promote the fishing opener in Minnesota, and we appreciate that very much. I can tell you that people are calling resorts. They want to get out. The weather's been great, and so this discussion has been very positive for the resort community. When I first spoke to Senator Bach about this issue about 18 days ago, I sent an email out to our board of directors to get their response and reaction. We have been pretty consistently opposed to advancing the date on a permanent basis. I remember the last attempt about 2009. And we've opposed that both for the impact on the facility, resort facilities, but more importantly on the resource. So I sent that out to our group and just asked the question, and the reactions came back generally supportive because of the weather, but it was mixed. And since the passage of time, we've had the opportunity to survey a broader group of our membership. And last Wednesday, we held a workshop for resorters in northern Minnesota. We are at the point right now where we are decidedly mixed. There are numerous concerns about it 20 days out from what the proposed opener would be. And so so there is division among resorters themselves. And just want to convey that to the committee. You know, a number of facilities, although it's a small number of facilities, are open year-round and are ready to accommodate their guests. There are about 900 resorts in Minnesota, and less than 20% have year-round operations. So most of the people that we're talking about are not up and ready for business at this point right now. So the ones that are up and ready and are in a more southern location, we have very few members that are south of 94, but the ones that are ready to go, and so there's some support for it. But as you drill down on it with resorters right now, you're going to find that the reaction of trying to get that done within the next 20 days is very difficult. You know, the support for opening early is obvious. There's more time on the water. There's more time to fish. I don't think anyone questions that's a great benefit to people. But the opposition to doing this is much more pointed and more direct and has actually been more vocal among our association. They are concerned about a loss of business, not an increase in business, a loss of business. They're concerned about the impact on the resource, the fishing resource, and there is also a concern about being able to get their facilities ready on time. And just want to briefly just touch on those, and then Tony and I can answer questions as well. But the facility issue for resorts is really one of timing. Most resorters work off property, and they are pegged for a fishing opener on the 12th, and that is when they are planning on being open for guests. And so they need to rearrange their day job, if you will, to try and get their properties up and ready, and that has been a legitimate concern for a number of people who have called me. There's a question about an impact on the resource, and I think I won't go into what the DNR's comments were, but that's clearly there, and I know you guys are weighing that concern as well. And there is also a booking issue for resorts when this gets into the loss of business. I had a resorter call me on Friday, and he said, the weekend before fishing for me, I am full. We run a crappie fishing event on our lake, and I am full. And I have my walleye fisherman calling me saying, can you get us in early? And I said, I can't. I'm booked. And it's a longstanding deal, and I can't do it. Well, if we can't come on the opener, then we have to go someplace else on that opening weekend, and they'll be canceling their booking. And so it is not an increase in business for them. It is a loss of business for them, and they're very concerned about that. That is not the issue with every single resort, but there are some of them. I had one person call me who said he specifically had his daughter schedule her wedding on the weekend before the fishing opener so they wouldn't miss the opener. And why are they talking about changing it? So it's all over the board on this issue. And the only plea that I think we have is that you try and make some definitive answer as promptly as you can. The lack of knowledge, this has been going on almost 40 days now, or it would be 40 days from the time it was started to the actual opening. And that is a very compressed time frame to try and get everything changed and moved around. And so we'd ask that if you're not going to do it, get that news out there. If you're going to do it, likewise, let the people know, because that uncertainty is probably creating more confusion for resorters than anything. And we hope that you can move promptly to a decision one way or another so that they can actually make some definitive plans. So, Mr. Chairman and members, we appreciate everything that you do for for resorters and tourism in Minnesota, and we think this has been a great discussion, and we're happy to answer questions, but the reaction has been very mixed out among the resort community. Appreciate
Senator
the time
Carlson.
And happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Carlson, I have to tell you, my district is the heart of resort country.
I didn't know that.
And I think most of the Ma and Pa resorts are members of your association. They come and visit me at every day when they have their day in the hill. They're not mixed in my district. They don't want it. So I have not had not one phone call, not one email that said this is a good idea. Everyone that I'm hearing from is it's a bad idea. I'm not sure. Maybe the mixture comes from those maybe more southern, but in my district, it's an absolute don't do it.
Couple questions, Mr. Carlson. I'm not sure whether you can answer this one. Let's talk about the bait folks. I don't think that was talked about with the DNR. Is there going to be an issue with them? And then we should talk also about a potential signing of a bill. What kind of notice are we actually officially going to get here? You were concerned about that, and I understand that. And you probably know as well as all of us sitting up here how that happens. I know the Game and Fish bill that's going to be dealing with this is being brought up tomorrow. And if it comes by way of an amendment, we deal with it there one way or the other. Should it be on there? Should it be on there? And we move forward with the House language. I'm not saying that it is. It's got to go through the conference committee situation, and before it gets to the governor's desk for signature, we're talking, when you're talking 20 days out, you're talking cutting that in half at the very, very least, probably. So what would that do? What would that do to your folks, putting it 10 days from now? And I'm saying worst case scenario, I don't think it would take quite that long, but should that happen? And what about the folks? Are the bait folks ready to go a week early? Maybe the DNR can answer that better. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm going to be less able to handle the bait question. Most of the resorters that we represent have relationships with their bait delivery, or they just don't do it themselves anymore. They wait for the bait stores to be ready. So I'm not in the best position to answer that question, but I can tell you that I informed the resorters over the weekend that best case scenario would be getting a bill to the governor by Friday of this week. That would be the best case as I could see it. I mean, I've look at other stuff in that in the Game and Fish bill. You got a few things to settle out there, and so I was just saying, if you got it done on Monday or Tuesday in the Senate and went to conference, best case you'd probably get it done and conferred and out to the governor by Friday. The time is really getting compressed for people to change their plans. You have to know a lot of people have their cabin on opening weekend, and they've had it for years, and it's a tradition, and that's where they want to go, but they want to be there on the opener. And so it really isn't making their plans. A lot of it is changing their plans. And so that time frame is getting very compressed, even if you got it done by Friday. So that's a big concern.
Thank you. Mr. Quillis.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the time today to comment on the proposal that Fishing Opener will be opening a week early. And I'd just like to echo Mr. Carlson's comments. And the same thing with our organization, that we've gone through and surveyed our members, and there are some folks that would like to see it open a little bit earlier. And we, you know, recognize and are thankful for, short of the Viking Stadium, this is probably one of the most conversed issues that we've been talking about lately that we can go through, and we appreciate the promotion of the tourism and of the industry, but some of our members are supportive of it, some of our members are against it. I think they've decided to take a neutrality position on it. But what the defer position was is the DNR and the resource professionals and how this is going to affect the fishery long term. And as Mr. Peterson and Mr. Bogus and Mr. Meyer pointed out, it seems, you know, earlier this year, I've played golf when it was 80 degrees out in a pair of shorts. And right now, I just talked to my good friend Tom Newstrom. He left Grand Rapids this morning, and it was somewhere between 8 to 10 inches of snow that is now falling on the ground up there. So, you know, those fish have been going, hey, let's start spawning, and then going, well, wait a minute, now we've got 8 to 10 inches of snow. And so, you know, we'd just like to defer to the resource professionals, and it's hard for them, I'm sure, to go through. And also, as Mr. Carlson pointed out, we've got, you know, our membership ranges from some of the larger ones up in the Brainerd area to some of the smaller mom-and-pop resorts. Some of those folks are family-owned, and they're trying to go through and struggle right now to get the docks out, to get the boats out, to get the motors all cleaned up and get ready to go. And it's kind of hard, and they're struggling right now to make the May 12th opener, let alone come out that week earlier. So the confusion in planning also. I've had conversations already with some of my folks that I go deer hunting with and what we're going to do for the deer opener, let alone 2 weeks out. And unfortunately, Joel's daughter's now going to have to change her wedding. But I'm teasing. It's not his daughter. But so the planning and the confusion that's going through, so we would be, the Resort and Campground Association would be neutral on the change, Mr. Chairman, but to go through and just, again, defer to the resource professionals and how long-term, how this would affect the fishery.
Senator Saxon.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. And again, I would say that the closer we get to the opening of fishing, the more people we're going to have that are going to say, hey, it doesn't make much sense for us to do this earlier because we can't make the change. It's hardship on only the resorters, but the fishing guides, the people that have scheduled the prom. It's a little bit of everything. And if it was a month or 6 weeks ago that this had passed, it'd be a little different story maybe. But the way it is right now, I just don't think it makes any sense to move back the change in the season.
Members, any questions? Any more questions? Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, can I tell a story on
Certainly.
Mr. Quillis? In my first term here, Senator Bob Lessard chaired this committee. And I sat down at the end of the table, and I don't remember what issue it was, but Mr. Quillis came up to the table to testify. And Senator Lessard was kind of like, well, you've probably all met Senator Lessard, you know. He was like, and Mr. Quillis used to be my committee administrator, and he was very excited about making sure everybody knew about that. And Mr. Quillis didn't blink an eye, and he said, yes, Mr. Chair, and I've been in therapy ever since.
Many, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it was with many hours with a psychiatrist that I was able to admit that publicly. That
I don't think we're
Bob,
talking
former
about the same Lessard that I know. It's not the same Lessard I know.
Mr. Chair, members, we appreciate the time and hope you will, at least give some indication so that the community does know. I see John Edmonds in the room here, and I know they're anxious about the governor's fishing opener and all the work and planning that's gone into that, and how a bonus week may impact that as well. I don't know if he's going to come up and testify, but I mean, this has generated a lot of discussion, and the sooner you can come to a conclusion, I think the happier everyone will be. So.
Okay, no further questions. Thank you very much, two of you. In your packets, members, what I think Senator Carlson and Senator Saxog are talking about. These are the emails that are coming at a daily daily basis, coming several of them at a time, and these are certainly concerns we should consider. A lot of plans have changed, and again, when we get down to the time factor here, we don't move sometimes the fastest here, that's for sure. Let's go to we have a fishing guide, Tom Newstrom. Welcome to the committee. Thank you for taking the time to come down.
I got up this morning. I didn't know if I wanted to come here or not because there was 8 to 10 inches of snow right out my front door. So
yeah.
I left about 4:30 this morning to get here. Then I had to deal with the wicked traffic.
We appreciate that, and we understand that Mr. Quillis, apparently that 8 inches of snow makes a difference in his golf game. I certainly wouldn't mind. But
I would assume he'd have to use orange or yellow.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as a fishing guide for over 33 years in northern Minnesota, I can tell you that I have talked to, in fact, the Lake Winnie Association also directed me to come down here, and they are against it. And I would say 90% of the guides in my area and some of the guides in northern Minnesota I've talked to are against the early opener. You know, one of the things Mr. Dirk Peterson from the DNR, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, the egg-taking situation is really important. People don't realize what these hatcheries do in the egg-taking part of stocking the fish in Minnesota. We are very gifted to have what we have in Minnesota. We've got probably the best walleye fishing in the country, if not the best natural resources. And it's done because we have people from the DNR that care. We have the legislators and the senators that do. And we also have to understand that without the laws that we have and the opening dates that we have that are monitored by the outdoors and by the DNR, we wouldn't have what we have. And I think that these are all important things. As of this weekend, there was a quote by one of the fisheries managers in Grand Rapids. Normally they take 4,000 quarts of eggs from the Cutfoot hatchery, and they're right at about 1,200 right now. And so it's quite a significantly down in that specific facility. Statewide, it might be at 40, 50, 60%, but we have to understand that the Cutfoot hatchery is one of the most active, and a lot of fish that are stocked in Minnesota come out of that Cutfoot hatchery. And we need to protect these fish. We need to protect the walleyes in the state of Minnesota from being over-harvested. And I can tell you as a guide that when we have had late openers, when the ice just went out before the opener, it's a bloodbath. And I will tell you that. We catch an awful lot of big fish. And our customers think it's fun, and we enjoy that because we have slot limits on the major walleye lakes, and we have them there for one purpose, and that's to protect the fishery. Opening the season early it's against tradition. You know, and I realize that there's a lot of people that can make a few bucks on it. I can make a few bucks on it. But I got to look at the future, and I got to look at the long range. And I think that's the important thing that I want to bring to you today. When you make your decision, we have to look at long range. We don't change things knee-jerk. We have to do it over the whole encompass, the whole horizon. And I think that's the greatest point that I can bring to you. I just got back from vacation. I read an article by Sam Cook yesterday in the Duluth paper, and it'd be an article for a lot of people to read because Sam says it best. You know, this is about what we are as Minnesotans. It's about tradition. It's about the seasons. We don't change deer season. We don't change duck season. And we don't change the fishing season. Ron Scheer wrote in his column April 6th, there's three things that are important to Minnesotans: Christmas, New Year's, and a fishing opener. And one last thing, last year I did the, we call it hosts, we don't call it guides, but I was in charge of the host for the governor's fishing opener in Grand Rapids. I want to tell you it was one of the most challenging things I've ever had to do in my career, was try to assemble 135 hosts. And if you change this to Waconia, I guarantee you it'll be an absolute heartbreaker for them because we come right down to the last days. This has been planned for a year in Waconia, and it was planned for a year prior in Grand Rapids, and it's a lot of work. That's not the significant thing about the change, though. The change is the outdoors. The change is the fishery. why mess with something that we don't need to? We really don't. And I think as a committee, I think it's your responsibility to hear the people that have talked to you before me to say that, you know what, these people are here to do the right thing. And we are. I'm here to do the right thing. I'm here to talk to you about the right thing. And I hope you do the right thing.
Thank you so much for coming. Any questions, members? You've got a fishing guide at your disposal here. You should have some questions.
Mr. Chairman, I've been with this fishing guide before.
Mr. Satsog and I know each other pretty well.
So, Senator Peterson, you were wondering about a blaze orange jig versus a white jig or something you asked me earlier? I don't know.
Green is the color.
Green is the color.
But, you know, I consider it an honor to come here. I really do. And I appreciate your time and your thoughts. And hopefully by my coming here, it'll help to make a difference.
Well, we appreciate it. And as I started out earlier, you know, where this came from, of course, didn't come in a bill form. It came from the, I think, probably at one time, an interesting idea. There's no question about that. And as time came on, of course, we had this one-week break, and all of a sudden everybody starts weighing in on it, and the more people that are weighing in on it, the more of a concern it became of us here, so we decided to have a
Mr. Chairman, can I tell you one
sure.
thing or just say one
yeah,
thing?
Go ahead.
And I think Bob Meyer could correct me if I'm wrong. 1979, the state record walleye was caught up on the Seagull River. And after that year, the season was closed, and I believe it's been closed every year since. And one of the reasons why, there was over 150 walleyes over 10 pounds taken in a 48-hour period. I mean, it's just incredible. And like I say, the state record was taken. That's the vulnerability of these fish when they get into a concentrated area. And that's what's going to happen. Now, if they elect to open the season earlier, does everybody in the state of Minnesota realize it's the DNR's responsibility to close an unbelievable amount of places within the state of Minnesota for angling if the fish aren't ready, if the females aren't done spawning and gone? So we don't want that to happen again. We learned a lesson in 1979. We don't need to have a repeat of that lesson. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any further questions? Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to thank Mr. Newstrom for making that trek down between the snow and the road construction and all of that. I guess maybe the only assurance we can give folks is an amendment to make sure that in a conference committee would be the earliest we'd be able to give any indication to folks around the state if that House amendment does not survive the conference committee. That would be the earliest, and I'm guessing maybe later in the week yet? Or?
Senator, the process from this point forward, and somebody can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Game and Fish Bill is coming forward tomorrow on the floor. And at that point in time, we're just kind of preparing ourselves for an amendment to come an early opener. At that point in time, the senators can make a decision whether we want it on the bill or not. And that's why I decided to have this hearing, was to better inform folks. And frankly, after all the information that I've heard here, I think it's with not only the science but the messing with the opener social aspect, but the time factor here. I mean, before we can even notify anybody that it's actually going to happen, is certainly problematic. And I'm not going to second guess anybody 3 weeks ago what they would have done. I mean, the bottom line is it wasn't a bill at that time; it is now. And it's certainly something we can deal with. We can overcome that, I think. And I certainly have been, you know, I'm going to go on the record to say I was very open to this thing 2 weeks ago. I really was. People were excited about it, but the change of weather and folks finally becoming informed of it definitely changed my mind, and I'm certainly not in favor of it. I'll be strongly against it on the Senate floor tomorrow, if it comes up. Now, that it may not come up. Might be such a thing that whoever the senator is that brings this forward might have reconsidered it. I haven't discussed it with him, and I think everybody knows who that is. It's the minority leader. Senator Bach was the one that brought it up earlier, and I can certainly have some discussions with him, but that's my take on it anyhow. If anybody else has any different ideas or any input at all, we would really appreciate it. Anybody? Senator Dietzick.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I agree with you. When I first heard of this 3 weeks ago, I thought because of the weather, it made some sense. We had a bad winter, so I thought it would help the resort owners. But during this week off, the weather changed, and I also heard from a lot of my constituents talking about they've made their plans a year ago. They have large family plans. Groups of people get together, and they plan their vacations around season, the fishing season opener. So I will not be supporting it.
Thank you. And folks, it's been, you know, it's been billed from fishing opener to, I think, in some of the emails we're hitting, it's Mother's Day or Mom's Day, take a mother fishing weekend, whatever it is. Bottom line is I come from an area, too, that has a lot of resorts and a lot of fishing and a lot of tradition. And quite frankly, mothers are looking for their kids to come home on Mother's Day for opener. So it's not a real hinder to put them out there, you know, a week early. It's not, you know, that isn't going to matter one way or the other. They just love having their kids come home for that particular tradition, and certainly it is a tradition. Hunting and fishing openers are traditions. There's no question about that. So any further questions? Anybody else in the room that would like to testify? Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if the gentleman that's heading up the fishing opener for the governor's sure. fishing opener, if he would like to give us some insight or would be willing to give us some insight on how they'll handle this if this change indeed was made.
Certainly.
Mr. Chair and committee, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for taking the time. Good morning. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. Senator, in regard to your question regarding
could I please just have you identify yourself for
I'm
the
sorry.
Record.
John Edmond. I'm Director of Explore Minnesota Tourism. First of all, thank you very much for having this hearing. I think this is really a great idea to have a full discussion on this, and it points out the importance of fishing to tourism in Minnesota, which is an $11 billion industry. We use the governor's fishing opener as sort of the start of the summer tourism season to talk about how important it is, and we put it out on a bid basis. The community of Waconia has received the bid, and they've been working on this for about a year and a half now. They're very nervous about a lot of these discussions and what it means to all of their planning. In conversations I've had with the governor's office, we're going to go ahead with the fishing opener on the date that's currently on the books. If the legislature decides to change that, so be it. We cannot change all of the things that are going on. We're going to still try to celebrate this. And as you heard, the fishing opener is very important to a lot of the tourism industry. The results are very mixed at best, and I think it deals with planning as it relates to the governor's fishing opener. Any change this late in the date would not work, and we cannot change our plans.
Okay. Members, Senator. Thank you very much for coming. So the plan still is to go ahead with the fishing opener on the 12th.
That is correct.
And you think this, you know, for what it's worth, you think this would affect you at all terribly if it were to be a week earlier? Protect that particular type of event, I'm sorry?
I think, Mr. Chairman, Senators, if you were to change the date going forward and we had time to plan, we could adjust from a tourism industry. But at this late date, we just cannot
Got
respond.
It. Thank you.
Yep.
Anybody else in the room that would like to testify with regards to it one way or the other? Certainly.
Deer stand.
One should stick to the fishing is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Vern Wagner. I am involved with Anglers for Habitat. We are a fishing group made up of bass, walleye, muskie, retired DNR folks. We could not come to any consensus on this issue other than the timing would be just not work for us. We're very concerned that if this were to be moved up this year, there's just too many things. There's crappie contests going on Lake Minnetonka, and we need boats and volunteers for that. So the early opener would interfere with that. I want to just indulge for y'all for a moment. I've been walleye and bass fishing for the last month and having a lot of success. I fish on the river. I go down to Winona, and I go fishing. I go down to Wabasha, and I go bass fishing. The Mississippi River below Red Wing is open continuously for fishing. Pool 2 here in the Twin Cities is a catch-and-release year-round fishery, and many walleye fishermen are out there, even probably today in this nasty weather, they'll be out there. So it isn't that we don't have places in Minnesota to go fishing. We certainly do. And when I go down to Winona to go fishing, I buy gas in Kellogg, and I buy food and bait and things in Winona. And so the angling community does support those communities. Part of the problem we always have in discussing this issue is Minnesota, are the length of the state, and that there is a real difference between the northern part of the state and southern part. And in some ways, an early opener probably would make more sense for the southern part of the state than it would the northern part, but it would also probably be way too confusing. Now, I always go out for the opener. The first weekend in May is my opener. I go walleye and bass fishing the first weekend in May because it's the opener in Wisconsin. And most of us in the bass fishing community drive across the Hudson Bridge and go fishing in Wisconsin because their season opens a week earlier. Right now, I have friends who are fishing in South Dakota because it's open for fishing in South Dakota. In Iowa, their season is open. So I don't think this is a bad question to be put forth. I think there should be some consideration at some point of what is it that anglers have to go to Wisconsin to go fishing. Those lakes are not that much different. They're on the same longitude and latitude. What is it that it works 40 miles from here, but it doesn't work here? So there is a question.
Sure.
The last thing I wanted to say is bass fishing. The bass fishing opener is the weekend of Memorial Day, usually. I always go bass fishing on that day on Lake Minnetonka, one of the best bass lakes in the state. The fish are on beds. On every opener that I have went out bass fishing for the last 40 years on Lake Minnetonka, when it's legal to catch bass, those fish are still on beds. And if I drove up to the Grand Rapids area, it's likely those fish haven't even spawned yet. If I go farther up to the Ash River Trail, they're weeks away from spawning. So the idea that the opener is a protection to protect spawning fish is more applicable when you're considering walleyes. But it's not as applicable when you're considering bass. So I guess I would ask that we keep this question open somehow for the next few years and see if the DNR could look at these issues and maybe make a recommendation back to this committee on some of these things.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's a discussion certainly for another day, whether we're talking about opener for, you know, change, which is a huge change. And I know that was a concern that I'd heard as well. You have these other states that are opening. Why not Minnesota? So I think the DNR is probably thinking about that pretty much all the time. We should be open to those kinds of conversations. We appreciate you coming in. Any further questions or comments, members? All right, thank you. It's been very informative, and we'll adjourn the meeting for right now. And
yeah, I am right now.
See.